Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and with joy I come to you as we investigate the book, Hell's Toxic Self, by Ryan LaStrange. As we starting this journey through this book, we are to have goals. Set goals for yourself. We're not just reading it because it's the next book to read, okay? But set goals for yourself. And one of the things that the author does to help us do that is at the end of each chapter, he gives a list of things that we should consider. And so I believe that it's always best to read those things first and then read the chapter. Points to consider. Are you sensitive to the realm of the spirit? So the answer to a lot of these questions will indicate where you are spiritually and where your background has led you and where your understanding is. Are you aware of the atmosphere around you? Some people are very, very mindful of certain environments. And when you sense something is negative about another, do you pray or do you criticize? And we're going to learn to pray and not criticize, because the prayer is what we're supposed to be doing to the negative. That means that we are taking up our position against the enemy and shining a light on him so that he does not rule and reign in the lives of those that are around us. One of the things they shared is earlier in the lesson, it said that many pastors and religious leaders are facing conflict and challenges in their churches. And they think they are just having difficulties with a rebellious person. But there is something deeper at work in this situation. And I believe wants us to understand, in order for us to be effective, we must understand that it's deeper than we believe. It's more than we see. It is the reality of the unseen realm that's at work against us because he has a conspiracy. And so how we overcome that, how we shine a light on a conspiracy is to, you know, as they say, bust them out, you know, and expose them. And so this is causing us to focus on something that's a lot different than what we think. So it is not that person that's just so difficult. It is a spirit that is sent to, as they say, frustrate the grace of God. I don't know why they say that, but they do. And or to race against the grace of God in me. Okay. And so we want to now arm ourselves with the truth, arm ourselves with the weapons of our warfare. We want to sanctify and cleanse ourselves with the washing of the word, of the water by the word. And that's what gives us the victory, that word of God. I believe that. The Lord shares with us the fact that the devil understands, and he does have somewhat of an understanding because he's dealt with man for lo these many centuries, so he kind of know what we're going to do. And he understands that our beliefs determine our direction. So, if your direction isn't to the things of God, if your beliefs are not to the things of God, then he is able to keep us ignorant of some things, because understanding the unseen realm and the fact that we, and we talked about it last week, are in these two dimensions. We're dwelling in the earthly, but we are heavenly. And we're given this supernatural power because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live in the reality. And that's the key, the reality of the unreal. So it is real. It is real. And it is toxic when we are not washed by the Word of God on a regular basis, on a consistent, continuous basis. So you may say, oh, you know, I read the Bible. Okay, well, it's more than once, more than just I read the Bible. It is studying the Bible. It is getting in the Word. I think the author shares it may be a scripture that you've had to repeat for the last 3 years because you are seeking a full understanding of that scripture. One of the things that the Archbishop shared with us was this working understanding. And so that working understanding, you can have an understanding. That's when you get the truth of God's word and you understand it. You understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life. He was crucified, and he rose again from the grave, and he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We understand that. But a working understanding of that goes to the next step. And I believe that, as the devil knows, our belief determines our direction. And so if that's what we believe, then that is going to change the direction we go into, and we won't be so subject to our emotional response to individuals that are difficult, circumstances and situations that are difficult. Sometimes the situation in families are just so tumultuous that they you just want to give up, you know, and end the relationship. You don't want to get involved with it anymore. So when we have that working understanding, okay, it's the people, it's the person, it's the place or the thing, then we're going to miss the conspiracy. We're going to miss because it's going to be camouflaged. And so we're going to allow that hurt to remain and the problem to become camouflaged and look like different things. And then it just goes down the rabbit hole. This goes from worst to worst to worst because everything is connected. Everything is connected. And our understanding of everything is connected. And so what we understand about the Word of God will determine the direction that we take. And it may be that you don't have a full understanding. You got a knowledge of, but not the zeal in the spirit of. But you make yourself subject to the truth that you do know, because the Word acts as an antidote to the toxic infection of lies and bondage, of replacing lies for truth, confronting our thoughts and our lives, understanding, having a working understanding of every deep emotional wound will form a series of lies that empowers the existence of the wound. You got to know that. You have to know that when you're wounded, okay, if you allow that to rest, that wound to rest on you and to root within you, the author shares, like, the lie comes to block the working of the truth. Well, it can't block the working of the truth. You know the truth. And then believe the truth and then have a working understanding of what the truth was meant to do for us. And so often that's where we back up because of that spiritual realm and, you know, I'm not that deep and it doesn't take all that and any of a number of things. And yet it does, and that's another lie and inner thoughts that take over to block the truth, to make us feel, well, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be, or better yet, God is not through with me yet. The word of God is true. It is our foundation and must be the basis for which we draw our identity. Every deep emotional wound will form a series of lies that empower the existence of the wound. You must boldly confront the lie and make a decision to uproot it. You see that? Make a decision. In order to make an decision, you have to have a working understanding that you can uproot the lie. That you can and you have the power and authority to make this decision to confront these lies and these thoughts that are negative towards the the race of the children of God and to view it from a different perspective because we have come to know and to understand the fact that this is the strategy of the enemy. And so this healing wounded and damaged souls, it becomes a breeding ground for wrong spiritual influence. I think that was so important. I wish everybody would be able to glean from this book, if nothing else, that a wounded and damaged soul becomes a breeding ground for wrong spiritual influence, which lets you know you can have a spiritual influence. Yes, you can. But it's wrong if you don't have a working understanding of who you are in the spirit realm. Then your it's not going to be of God. It's not going to be of God. In fact, wounded emotions can act as gateways to demonic powers. So when we harbor or nurture or nourish or protect our wounded emotions, we are protecting the gateway of demonic powers to influence our life and our circumstances and our situations. One of his warfare strategies, the enemy, is to infiltrate the way you think. He wants to empower false belief systems, toxic thinking, and reckless emotional upheaval. We learned that the man is made up of three parts, the spirit and the soul, and the soul, part of the soul, is the part that feeds, I love that, that feeds feeling, understanding, and choices. This part can become toxic without the washing of the word of God. And so to understand that would put to the top of our list the priority of being in the word of God on a regular basis. On a daily basis, on a continuous basis, not getting weary or deciding, well, I made this is my my goal is to finish this and I finished it, so I'm through. No, it's never over. It is never over because the enemy is never finished. He won't give up, I promise you. He will not give up. And in fact, he will become even the more aggravated with you. And as a result, there are things that he's going to send your way to chop away the stains and the pain of past experience and turmoil and torment. So he's going to know how the enemy is going to know your triggers, if you will. But what we have to decide to a working understanding is I will not, my triggers will trigger the Holy Spirit to be at work in my life. My trigger will be that the word of God is going to attack this lie and this thought that I have that would like to be the gateway to demonic powers, whether it's in me or in my family or in my church, in my ministry. And we wouldn't think that we are our own worst enemy, but we are. Just like when Christ told Peter, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. So he did not have a working understanding of who Christ was. And it was okay that he was going to die because he, King Understanding, but Peter did not. But he knew that he was going to give Peter that working understanding. And Peter was going to have that working understanding. And I just think that this particular part of our lesson is indicated in the seven churches because I believe that's God's way of giving us this strategy that the church has fallen into and then giving us a way of escape. Hallelujah, a way of escape. And so this particular section, I believe, was I did my own, you know, interpretation, was Thyatira. Wrong doctrine. And so often the truth is disguised in unbelief. And you would think it can't be, but it can be if we are wounded and damaged. If our thinking, our feeling, our understanding and our choices are not from the Word of God, and not just the Word of God, from the power of the Word of God in our life. And so it is something that we are empowered to understand. So Thyatira is wrong doctrine. And the strength of that church was love, faith, work, patience, endurance, constant improvement. But the failure were tolerate pagans, cults, idolatry, and immorality, and judgment is coming. So when we don't think judgment is coming, we fail. Because that's part of the power of the Word of God, knowing the judgment is coming and giving us an understanding of the root of that that truth. And Thyatira is just repent. You know, we're not in a place that is beyond renewable. It's not beyond, I won't say fixing, but in enlightening, that's it, enlightening, faithful will hold fast until Christ comes. I will give you the morning light. So we do have a reward. We have a promise, faithfulness. Just hold fast until he comes. And remember, if you don't really believe that he comes, that's just like with Peter, you know, when he all know that won't happen to you. Well, you don't understand that he is coming. And so that's really idolatry. He was idolizing Jesus. He wanted Jesus to get out of his position of Holy Son and take on the position of flesh of man. And though he became flesh, he chose to not sin. So there was no immorality in him. There was no, his disciples were not a cult, even though some people felt that they were, but they weren't, because he always led them to the Father's will for their life. Okay. So I know there's a couple of things that we want to do, so we want to save time for others to do it, but I do want to get to rest in the grace of God. Having a strong understanding of God's grace and goodness will empower our recovery. So there's our hope of glory. There is a recovery that is necessary and that is guaranteed for us. It definitely is part of the teaching that God has given us as a Friday Fellowship of Learner, the grip of grace, understanding, a working understanding of what grace means in our life. And so God's grace and goodness will empower our recovery. Having a strong, a working understanding of God's grace and goodness will empower our recovery. Renewing the mind is not a single-step process, but a journey of continual change, growth, and renewal. And then he gives us a list of damaged souls, their symptoms, and scripture passages to renew our mind and put us on the path toward proper thinking so that we no longer are guarding the lies and the errors in our life, because we become the enemy's greatest, what do you want to call it? Excuse me. We become the enemy's weapon against us. Because we don't believe. We don't have a working understanding. We had that. We had that time where we had the I believe God. And it was a reminder, you know, yes, I believe God, but what do I know about him that I believe? And do I not know enough, the God that we don't know, you know, the God that you may not know? And even though that seems like a silly book to do, for Christians to do, however, it wasn't, because there was another level that God wants us to go into. And I the author shares it. The word acts as an antidote. The truth you know about the word is what gets us transformed in our understanding through meditation. Meditating on the word is a system of spiritual digestion, and that's getting the word, now digesting it in your environment, in your circumstances, in your dimension on the earth, but with the understanding that your reality is the unseen realm. And that's not an easy thing to do, which is why you don't have to do it by yourself. which is why the Lord gives us His Holy Spirit to empower us to have that dual, I call it, well, it's really not a dual citizenship, but a dual position. So you have a position in the earth realm, and you have one in the spirit realm. And what you have in the spirit realm is fueled by God, and as a result, it will change the earth realm. Remember we talked about changing your environment or someone that's negative. You know, do you criticize or do you pray for them? And we have to start learning to do that. We have to start, that needs to be the first thing that comes in our spirit, not our mind. This is what, it has to be the first thing that comes in our spirit, because our spirit has been renewed by the washing of the word. And so it has to come in our spirit. Our spirit is being contained. Our spirit contains the DNA of heaven. And so that's the first thing that should come into our spirit. The first thing that comes into our mind, or the second thing, or the next thing that comes into our soul, is that complex part of our being that is the mind, the will, and the emotions. It is the part that feeds, understands, and chooses. This part can become toxic without the washing of the word. And so we want to probably stop right here, to give individuals opportunity to share their insight and wisdom and their revelation. I know Apostle had one last week that was very profound. Are you going to share it? It was about the introduction. Mm-hmm. So just different things that God will give you while you're reading is to share. This is a fellowship. And in sharing, then what you have, what I have, what she gets, what they get, then it comes together, and then we all have it. Then we're working as a church together. Then we're working with the anointed of the different areas of influence. Then we're working as one against the enemy of the mountains, the influence of the mountains, the principalities of the mountains on the devil's direction.
Exactly what that was. I can't find it in the book. I have a lot of notes. But as you were sharing on this morning about Jesus' response to Peter, when he told Peter, see behind me, Satan, when I heard that, and it is a familiar scriptorial statement, it was, and you look at that as it related to the wounded and damaged soul, and the disappointment that one embodies and embraces as, and the ones that, and the how we process disappointments and things like that that we have with what the Lord is or isn't doing, and just that statement that Jesus made to Peter, as you were also making reference to. The impact we have in spiritual influences from the perspective of a wounded and damaged soul. What I heard was to the disappointment, his frustration with his lack of understanding his Jesus's tomorrow, and so he responded to what was the spiritual influence in Peter at that time, which was Satan. So I think, you know, when I hear it, it was like, okay, you know, Satan was Peter was doing something, and it was characteristic of Satan. But just looking and speaking to the inner struggle and the root of that inner struggle being Satan, based off of a lack of understanding, as you just said, or I don't even know that aspect of God, the unknown God, because I just have not understood or been able to. Like Jesus silenced Satan and took away his permission or authority to operate inside of Peter's future understanding of Christ. And I just thought that was powerful.
Amen.
That wasn't
Amen.
My last week, but that's my today.
This week. Well, that's the blessing. I know last week you had shared with me from the introduction. You got it? That the fact that it said, if you, what did it say? If you pick up this book, I don't know how to put it. Okay.
That's good.
Right, the introduction. But it was interesting because what she said was, in this book, you got it.
Yes. So, conceptually,
the author makes this statement for why he's writing this book. And so he says, if you pick up this book, then you are preparing, or, and that's, I want to find exactly what he said. Keep going. Do you have a question?
Okay.
Do you see the violation?
Okay, we will.
If you're in then you have the right book. Okay.
A personal revival. And that's what this book is to do, to stir up a fresh wind of revival. So this is again, the next is, you've never been here before, it's, you need to put a space in the place that you are, and the word is so that you are being made into an understanding of a working understanding of the Word of God. There is a journey. There is a process. There is something you can't just run up and walk with the ark, okay, and the priest. No, you have to have a certain amount of distance between them. And I love that, you know, give me my space. Anybody that was there on that Sunday. And, you know, we need that space. Give me my space. I have to have space to become aware of this new, of this place that I've never been before, this new, and even the author says this new next. He even says this next, coming up in the next. You got it? Okay, Apostle has.
Okay, so in the foreword, the author begins to make reference about the passion behind why he wrote this book and what you can anticipate in this book. And then he goes on to say that, you know, if you desire the churches to be filled, if you desire the keys to unlock the doors and salvation, if your answer is yes, then this for you. And what I realized as I was looking at that is that even if that isn't my answer, I believe prophetically and apostolically this book is released in this season because it's where God is looking to take you. And so you may not know you want to go or that it is even an option, but if this book has come into your space, if the opportunity has presented itself for the truth in this book to be revealed, then this is the preparation for your tomorrow, not necessarily the answer for your today. And so just using the revelations, the progressive revelation that is found in this book as a tool and an instrument for where God is taking you. So it's almost like it is the eye-opener on a journey that you didn't know you were about to take, and let alone you didn't even know your eyes were closed to.
Amen. Amen. And as the apostle was speaking, it becomes apparent that so often we go, well, you know, why didn't I know this? And, you know, I've been in church, and, you know, X amount of years. Nobody ever said da 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 da. Now is the time. It is now. He even shares that it's now. That the enemy is who's telling you you should have known this. No. It's now. He is the one who said, excuse me, he will perfect those things concerning us. And he is, I would like for us to keep in mind the fact that this is God's job. This is God's job. He's going to do his job. And so it's okay. It's okay. It's okay if he takes us in a place that we wasn't really a little hesitant about going. That's for those prophets and those deliverance ministries and, you know, the da-da-da-da-da. We are the deliverance ministry. Everywhere we go, we are to rip up the guards of lies that surround the thinking of, first of all, church people, and then secondly, the world, because there's so much of the word of God that church people do not know, or they choose not to believe, or they're getting to a place now where now it is becoming required. And remember, the spirit chooses, the soul chooses. You have to come to a point where you choose, you know, but you can't choose if you're not exposed to this truth. So I know that we have Elder Deborah on the line, and that little insert from the school tape letter, I don't know if everybody has read one or has become familiar with it, but she's going to bring us, this is what we're doing is the viewpoint from heaven, and she's going to bring us the viewpoint from hell. Okay, Elder. Hell.
Good morning. Thank you. You know what? Oh, see, I am actually outside washing windows. I don't know if you can even hear this machinery. But anyway, but, you know, I mean, it's not that I can't talk. It's just that I don't have any paperwork or anything like that. That's kind of what I'm saying. As I was listening and as I was reading, it's very interesting the way we can compartmentalize what we believe, what we don't. One of the things that I remember distinctly in coming to laborers is hearing apostles say, "Eat the whole scroll." So I think that when we talk about the whole idea of not being able to deal in this realm, this is fluid. We are in this realm. It's not really a choice or not. We are under attack 24/7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that the one of the things that I want to say, I don't think it's in the introduction, I think it might be in the first or the preface of the first letter, where he talks about there are two ways that you look at it, and I think you mentioned that this morning, is that either you become like obsessed with it, the whole idea of a underworld and that kind of thing, or you just are completely blissful, you know, and just don't attend to it at all. But, you know, I think obviously either way is detrimental to us. And it is. I think it's even a greater trick of the enemy to make the body of Christ run away from it. That's probably the ultimate, you know, the ultimate sham. It's like it really doesn't exist with the consequence, because we know it exists. Because if the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, you know, you are convicted and chided of things. See, I think we know covert when we just obviously go astray? Like, you know, like I know my feet shouldn't be going this way, you know, but I'm just trotting right on down that path. It's not, I think sometimes we make it mysterious and daunting. I'm not saying it's not real and it's not intense and all those things, but I'm just saying that we can't even think of a word. I want to say animated or like I say, dismiss it. That we can rise above the temptation by going, well, okay, no, that's the wrong way, because saying temptation was the wrong word. Anyway, no, I'm not going to go down that road. But you know how, like, sometimes you can be thinking something in your head, and it's like, no, they're not going to understand that part, because I'd have to say too many things. But just the whole idea of the subtleness, the methodical, systematic way, just like the Lord gives us all the scaffolding that we need to be equipped where he says we're thoroughly furnished, then I think we have to look at that as a mirror reflection somewhat, you know, certainly not in power, but in structure. And the school tape letters gives us that lowerarchy, and that's the term that they use, like we use the hierarchy of the kingdom of God, you know, the father below, the, like I said, the lowerarchy. And I don't know how far you guys got into the first letter, but, you know, there were just a couple of things in there. The one thing was the whole idea of, did you get to where he tempted the guy, infiltrated his thoughts with, maybe it's a good time to have something to eat since you're thinking these really heady thoughts? They'd be tackled better on a full stomach. Did you guys get to that part in the letter? In letter one? I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, the school tape, who was the uncle, who was advising his nephew on how to be a tempter and how to befuddle, which is one of the words he also uses, how to befuddle Christians. And so he has the guy thinking about materialistic things, reading things that don't pertain to God, or nothing that edifies. Something just to basically keep him distracted, keep him dealing with his friends and that kind of thing. But he goes on to tell him when I think the patient, he's called the patient, in the book, the patient's mother, if I recall, like I said, I don't have that in front of me, says something to him that kind of sparks him, because it's not like the guy that he's working on is an atheist or anything like that. He has seeds, if you will, of interest in Christianity, and his mother is a Christian. And so the uncle tells him, rather than get into an argument with him about what he believes and that kind of thing, because our enemy, talking about believers in the Father, they can argue too, that you don't want to get him, you don't want to have him arguing with you back and forth. You want to have him distracted. You want to have him looking at the future and thinking that all of these thoughts are things that he came up with himself. You don't want him thinking about doctrines and those types of things. So he's telling him, you know, specifically, steer him away from things that would make him grow and make him just inquire. And the uncle goes on to say that he had a gentleman that he, a patient that he had been working on for 20 years, who would routinely go to the British Museum to read. And one day while reading, he had a moment, and the uncle was saying, you know, I saw my 20 years of work beginning to totter as this guy was being, a revelation was coming to his consciousness. And so he said that basically what he did was he steered him to, rather than try to deal with that, because the enemy knows the word of God. You know, he was, they were cast out, so they know the word of God as well. He said, so rather than try to put something in his head that was going against the enlightenment that was happening, I started to work on his physical nature and told him, wow, man, this is deep. But, you know, deep things, now I'm saying deep, but things, weighty things need to be handled on a full stomach. So you need to get up and go and get something to eat. And he said that while, once the gentleman got up and went to get something to eat, once he went back out from the library, back out into the world with the newsboys and the traffic, that right. he was able to start to infiltrate with thoughts of, now this is the real world, whatever that was. Like, ooh, that was something, but, you know, no, this is really life. And so, you know, just looking at kind of the subtleties and the way things are kind of slipped into the consciousness. He even made a right around the point where he was telling him that maybe you need something to eat. He mentions to the nephew, I think that our enemy, which, you know, would be the Holy Spirit, is saying something to him, but that, you know, we can never really quite understand what they're saying to each other. Which is one of the things that I, you know, I mean, I've always heard that, you know, our thoughts can, our thoughts can be influenced, but Satan is not privy to our conversation with the Father. That connection is a, if you will, a secure connection when we're tuned in, tapped in. You know what I mean. But, yeah. I mean, I don't know, like I said, without having the notes in front of me. But the overall thing, I think, is just that we have to be aware of how, and sorry for the noise, nothing to do about that. We have to be aware of how we are being affected. You know, sometimes with, I think, the things from without, but as well as, you know, the things and thoughts from within. And to me, screw tape just gives us a, like you said, a hell's eye view of how he works his schemes and traps and distractions and smoke and mirror tactics on us to make us, as you talked about earlier when you were just talking about spirit, soul, and body, make us get into our emotions and into our feelings and becoming justified, you know, all of those things. So it is about being aware, and it is interesting in doing this with the toxic trio right after doing a God's eye view. But such a time as this, right?
He, you know what? He has a wonderful school. And, college, a wonderful doctorate degree program, because all the prerequisite, the stuff that we couldn't even figure out, because, you know, 2-3 years ago, we didn't know we would be here. But everything has led up to this. And I think one of the things, as you were speaking, I believe that we can more associate, and I know this sounds very negative, but we can more associate with the screw tape letter process than we can God. Because, again,
yeah, because that's where we spend our time. I agree.
So God stuff is like, oh, what is that? Oh, no, 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 no. You know, and so this is one of the things that he needs us to know. This is, he's screwing with you, quite frankly. Okay. He's got you. He's got you. One of the scriptures, Philippians 3:17-21, and he says this, okay, it says, brethren, become followers, and observe those who walk according our example. For many are walking in such a way that they are the enemy of the cross of Christ. Now, he's talking about the church. I have told you of them often and tell you again, even weeping. Their destination is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set upon earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we await for our Savior Jesus Christ, who will transform our body of humiliation so that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working of his power, even to subdue all things to him. And you know what? People will read that and they go, and blah, 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 blah. Okay? But our citizenship is in heaven. That's the part that we don't have a working understanding of. Our citizenship. And it's
Well, obviously, don't you think that, I mean, to me, that was what Bishop was reiterating, the whole idea that our current standing and our state are totally different, just like your position and your posture, however you want to say it.
Right.
You know, Ephesians
right.
kind of gives us that, you know, we're actually seated in heavenly places. And
exactly.
Right now.
And Overseer says it all the time, but I don't think people listen. You know, but I say it till I understand it. And it changes the way I think and the way I act and the choices that I make. So this is one of those scriptures. God said it. It is true. And I will repeat it until my mind is transformed into that being that my natural state is going to be the supernatural. I believe in miracles. And I don't mean just, you know, miracle parting the Red Sea or whatever, but I mean miracles every day, miraculous things happening because we pray. Because we pray. My people perish for lack of knowledge. If my people who are called by my name, all of these things are what do you call it? They're appetite against us. They are the there's something that is true that shouldn't be true. How's that? Okay, and the fact that we've lost sight of
antithesis. Were you saying antithesis?
Okay, that's a nice word. That's what I was saying.
Which is like the opposite of whatever should be true. That's what I thought you were talking about. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you like that.
No, but that's true. That's exactly what it is. I didn't think of that word, but thank you. Because it is. It's what happens. That's guarding. That is us guarding the lie of the enemy. You know, I believe every lie has demons attached to it to make sure the lie stands in the minds of Christian people. You know, it don't take all of that. That stands. Everybody's like, no, you know, but, you know, the Old Testament ain't for me. Those are lies that are standing. And because they're standing, then we are in trouble. Actually, that's the bottom line. And he is waking us up to it now so that we, the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened. Because when any time these long scriptures come to, anytime these scriptures come to, you know, but our citizenship is in heaven, far where also we await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know that we're really waiting on him. He's supposed to come, okay. But I don't know that we're waiting on him to come. Now, we can say, you know, I believe he's going to come, okay. But we don't have a working understanding of what that will mean, because if we did, we would understand our destiny in the way that we're going is destruction. And just like the Screwtape Letters said, you know, tell him he hungry. You know, that's the best way, you know, hungry or sleepy. You know, when you're trying to pray or read or study, you're hungry or you're sleeping. There's always something that takes over that flesh. Anytime that happens, you need to become aware that the earthly realm wants, are afraid of you because you're in the spiritual realm. And I think if we understood that, and understood the power we have to remain in the spirit realm, that we would act a little different. We would live a little different. We would think a little different. We would process a little different. We will wait on the Lord. You know that song they sing, I will wait on the Lord. They sing it over and over and over. No, we ain't waiting. Not on him to come back. Now, you're waiting on him to do what you asked him to do, to change what you asked him to change. But the thing that changes and transforms our thinking is waiting on him to come back. Then you will view life a lot differently. So we're going to have Elder Roberta, do you have a declaration for us today?
Let me see. I wrote it. I did. Let me find it.
Okay.
Hold on. Hold on.
Sure.
Okay. I was listening. I think I got lost. I got lost in what you all were saying because I didn't have those letters. I wasn't understanding what you all were talking about because I don't have that, but as I was reading, I just began to write a prayer. Or okay, Father God, help me in your intercessors' prayers to be fervent and releasing spiritual power that opens heavens and releases the strength of your kingdom power. Let our prayers be as an electrical current releasing power within spiritual warfare against the enemy of our souls, our inner man. And
trying to leave my own handwriting. And the spiritual sight of the church. Cause your people to become more accurately aware of atmospheres, bondages,
yes,
needs, and potential breakthroughs. Help us to not become oblivious to the realm of the spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Anybody else have anything you would like to share or add?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate your journey through this book with me. I'm excited about where it's going to take us and what it's going to do in us. I am thankful that God does not us or forsake us in our issues. He understands our hearts and will bring about that desire. So I appreciate you. I love you. There are probably a lot of things going on what they are. But enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Minister Paulette, and I want to say oblivious means lacking conscious awareness, unmindful, and forgetful.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Enjoy.
Thank
ma'am.
You so much. Words, meanings are essential.
Amen.
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 Be blessed. Thank you.
Be blessed.
So we didn't do less than this great.
No.
So the contentious souls.
Yeah, we. No, we didn't.
Oh.
You ready for that next week?
Huh?
You ready for that next week?
Okay, I just want to make sure I got so caught up in some other stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess the steps
get to the
room. Right. Yeah, I think y'all ought to read. So.
Yeah.
The class, even though I think I kind of throw it in, you know, because I go.
I really am going to